budget meeting this November, what, 12th, 13th?
13th.
2024, 7 a.m. It's a Wednesday. We have two left. Maybe. Maybe more. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm here.
Ms. Therrien.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Mr. Marty.
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstad.
Here.
Mayor Proust.
Here. This morning, you were given a document showing a budget surplus of $1,937,934. So basically, you've put back into the budget about $650,000. So I say that because we're coming into a PSEA contract. And we'll be going through that. This is letting you know your financial numbers. So we are with Christy and the Fairbanks Emergency Communications Center. Christy, you want to start? Introduce your compatriot.
I have Brenda Geyer here with me this morning. She is one of, right now, currently our remote dispatchers, but she is going to be taking the ops position come January. So she's moving back up here to take that position. Welcome, Brenda.
Good morning, Brenda. Good seeing you again. I mean, usually see you up there or on a TV screen, so.
Yes.
I'm not as ugly as I look on the screen. No.
Brenda's been with us.
Don't say anything, Ringstead.
Brenda's been with us for quite a few years. She worked with us. She worked with the DA's office. She worked at AST. She originally started with the AST, and now she's back with us. She lived in Arizona for a little bit. She lives in Idaho. So she's worked in lots of different agencies, different kinds of agencies. And so she's taken on the ops position to learn more about my stuff and support the center a little bit more. I'm just going to jump into the objectives. So objective one is to have a resource document that all employees can be accessible and secure in a secure location in-house. We have tons of policies and procedures. The problem with our policies and procedures is, one, we have tons. You can look them up in Power DMS very quickly, but it's not a detail by detail always, because we dispatch for 22 different agencies. To tell you how to do something for one agency, sometimes I have to tell you how to do it for 22 different agencies. So that one is our policies and procedures very quickly, but then we need step by step. We already use OneNote, or I do. So it's teaching the staff the OneNote electronic notebook. It's accessible to all of us. It doesn't cost us anything else. We can quickly change things in and out. You can add pictures, you can add emails, attach them, anything like that. And a lot of us have been very good at creating cheat sheets, and we can attach those cheat sheets and change those pictures and everything very quickly. The second one is to establish a new evaluation criteria for the staff, and we want to do it so originally we had the same one as the police department. So again, the police department dictated everything that was done in the program. They're no longer on the program, so we can change it however we want, but we need to rewrite it. We had to use their criteria because it conflicted with theirs. They had more employees, so we just basically had to use their criteria. We also want to do it so you go from, dispatch manager down, like a typical evaluation, but we also want to do it the other way. So your trainee is now evaluating your FTOs, and I get feedback truly on how they believe the FTOs are doing or how the supervisors are doing. And supervisors get to say stuff about me as well. So we get it both directions. But we do have to build that with the program. We have three of the people currently that are working on setting it up, but you know our schedules are very busy. They went to CCM, actually almost half of our staff has been to Comm Center Manager. They have a lot of resources and other people, and they can go out and ask other people, hey, what's your evaluation program? What's it look like? Can you give me a copy of it? And then we can take the goods and bads of everybody's and kind of put them together in ours. The third one is we need to practice for our cyber outages and things going down. We say we're going to do this a lot, or we do it, and we're actually pretty good when our systems go down, but we need to do it more often in a controlled environment. Like the power shutting off to our building, the initial 5 minutes is very much panic, and then we kind of figure it out and where we're going from there. But we need to go, okay, the CAD went down. How are we going to do this? How do you do paper dispatching again? It's not only for us, the panic, but when I turn off my CAD, the officers freak out because they can no longer use their computers. They have to learn dispatching the old school way by radio, which Brenda likes. and all those things. Some of us are very good at it. Some of us are switching between the phone and the radio and dispatching at the same time because that's how we learned. But the people that recently started, when the fire department likes their lights turned on, this nice, sweet announcement from somebody instead of a dispatcher that's talking really fast, at the same time we're trying to do CPR, they're not used to that. And they're like, dispatch, what'd you say? And so they have to get used to both ways. Like, hey, I'm going to turn all your lights on in your station, not just one room. Hey, this is what happens when this goes out. So we need to train our people and the other agencies that we work for, because when something bad happens to our center, we are now teaching everybody else how to function when something happens in our room. So all of our fire chiefs are on board with this, that we are going to slowly turning off different sections at different times of the day. Can't do it all during day shift because only day shift gets to practice then. So it'll be like 24 hours or 48 hours. There's going to be none of this, or there'll be no paging, or we'll be, hey, there'll be no CAD for 4 hours. We'll do 4 hour increments for that because that's a big thing to backfill, back enter, everything like that. But everybody needs to know how to function if something in there does not work. And so we would do it every month, so we're prepared, or every quarter, depending on what it is, what pieces there are. The last one is community presentations and training about 911 and resources we have available. There's a lot of things that we don't do outreach on because we're basically a support agency, a lot of it. 911 is truly not ours. It belongs to the borough, but we are the ones that present everything. Smart 911 is not ours, but we are the ones that go out and present everything for them. We do that because it's a resource for us. While they own it, it's a resource that we benefit from. So those things that we teach really don't belong to our agency per se. They belong to those other agencies, but we get the benefit of people knowing what it is. So we need to go out and teach what those are. I know police officers are like, hey, we're going to do this. Do you have a smart 911 flyer? And they set it beside them. But most of them don't really know how it works, how it pops up on our screen. All the little details, like is it confidential, how do you access it, all of that stuff. And so we have to teach that for them. Anybody have any questions about that? Sorry, I went fast.
Mr. Marty, then everyone else.
Well, thank you, Christy. That seems backwards to me. If I own something, that means I'm the more or less the professor at it. I'm knowledgeable about that. So if the borough owns it, why are we ones that have to teach others about?
Because it's important to us.
I'm sorry.
Important to us because when somebody calls 911, so there's multiple things. I don't know if any of you guys have a smart 911 profile. So what happens is when I call 911, I get a pop-up screen. So my cell phone. When I lived here, and I still have one in Idaho, even though they don't have it down there. So what happens is I call 911, you get a picture or whatever information I want to put in this program. So I put my picture, my husband's picture, my five kids' pictures, my in-laws' pictures, their medical information. So if they called 911 off of that number, they get that information. So if my in-laws, when they lived here, called off of Craig Avenue, I had all their medical information. What if they weren't able to speak? Then they have all the medical information. We do it for domestic violence victims. We try to tell them to do it because when you call off a cell phone, we don't know who you are. We have to either research in our CAD if you talked to us before, Or we have to go fill out a paper, call AT&T, fax them this paper, then they send it back to us. Same thing with like people that have bee stings. A lot of people try to drive themselves to the hospital. You're in a vehicle. I don't know what vehicle you are because I don't know what car you are. And so people, we can go, oh, this person, they have bee stings. They usually drive this vehicle. And I can see a circle on my map. Go here, look for this vehicle. That's what we're looking for.
Ms. Marnie?
And then we can send somebody quickly.
We are looking at a program to have 911. You hit it right on the head, sir. We're looking at that.
Thank you.
Continue, please, Christy.
Let's go into the flow chart. So our business plan that is passed every 5 years, we are supposed to have 22.5 employees. We, Mike helped build it up past that actually. And so to fund the contract for the different things, we cut some of our positions, not saying that we're never gonna need them again, but we don't need to fill them right now. And if we go and try to find our own 911 and do stuff like that, I believe there will be some funds available that we can get these positions back in a different way, not at cost to the city. But right now, these call taking positions and stuff that we have, I think, Margarita, is it 470, 480 for the 911 contract with the borough that comes in that pays for some of our positions? It's about $480,000 that comes into us. We have until, I think, July, and who knows what they're going to do with that contract at that time. Let's see here. So I'm not totally against all my cuts because that's hard for me to say that I'm against it. Do I want them? No. But I know the city has to do what they want to do, need to do. Our overtime, we backfill our overtime. We never come in and ask for money for that because we use our salaries and wages to offset our overtime because that's why we have the overtime is that extra people in there. The trainees with the benefits, I guess that got moved to everybody in the city. Let's see.
Are you on page 57?
Oh, 67?
67?
Yes, I'm.
Could we go back to 66 and go through your personnel, please?
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Okay. So you're the FECC manager?
Yes. Okay. So that's me. Brenda is the ops manager, or she will be coming January 2nd when she moves back up here. Currently, we have... We did the supervisor process, and we have two other ones that we hired inside the city. The other three positions have went outside the agency or advertised outside, and we're in the process of doing that. We had some applicants, and we sent it to them, and so they have to fulfill the same process that these internal applicants went through. So we're just waiting for that to go through all the way.
Right now, how many shift supervisors do you have?
Well, this is a tricky one. Technically, I have three because Brenda hasn't moved up here. Once Brenda moves up here, then we'll have two, and then we need three from wherever.
She's no longer a...
She's operations manager.
She'll be operations manager.
So we'll go down to two.
And how many have you looking at hiring at this position right now versus for next year?
For right now.
How many of you interviewed for the positions?
So we did all the internal ones, and we're going through the process of the external ones, which there's some internal applicants and external that have applied the second time.
What's your time frame for filling the four positions of shifts?
They have until November 29th to turn in all of their stuff. Then they do their interviews and their presentations to an oral board of some fire chiefs that we had. And then I have some other people that are doing the resume and newsletter and all that other stuff. They're grading that. So it should be done by the end of the year.
And we would have four.
Yes, we would have all four. As long as they can start, yes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Ringstead.
Permanent supervisors or acting supervisors or whatever we were told a while back?
They're permanent. They're part of the budget.
Mr. Marnie.
Are they all in town?
Yes, they would all be in town.
Okay.
Well, actually, I have one that's out of town. She is the remote supervisor to supervise the remote people.
Oh, continue, please.
The next one that we have is quality assurance specialist. So we used to have somebody in town. COVID hit, and also she left. And so then we had her as a contract employee because we were in the middle of trying to get our ACE. She was able to get it in two of our fields, but not into police. So we're still working on trying to get that in the police side. It depends on the month. Sometimes we're really close. You have to have 4 months of data that's meeting the standards, and we haven't quite been able to meet that yet. So the original person that we have remote is no longer with us, and we are using a part-time remote person, and it's Julie Ritchie that used to work with us. She's filling that position part-time. And then we have one quality assurance person that does it on the side in the room. We used to have two, and then I also took the class to fill that gap to relieve the room. I'm doing medical as well. Plus, I need a little more understanding of the position. Quality assurance was never a thing the dispatch manager did, just because of how their emergency dispatch or priority dispatch, how their philosophy is. I need to understand it, but I also need to not take somebody else's word for it always and set the standard for our room. So I took the class.
Yes. Ms. Sprinkle.
Do we need that position? What does it do?
It's so basically every time that we answer the phone, it is going back and listening to our phone calls to make sure that we provide the correct service. Make sure we do CPR correctly. Make sure that we're telling somebody and not just hanging up on them and saying, no, we're not sending anyone, click, because that's what they're doing. It's holding us to a standard, and yes, we have to have it because it's in our business plan. And it's in our 911 contract that we will get it and try to get it.
Quality control.
Oh, mm-hmm. I get quality control. I understand that all day long. It just sounds like we've got three different people trying to do one job.
Well,
how can that be consistent?
Of. Quality assurance specialist is overall the whole thing. And then they tell us, hey, these are the problem areas that you guys are having. These are the training areas you guys need to train in. You guys are not getting people out of the house fast enough during a structure fire. You're holding up on this. And then we have training that we have to do. Yes, you want it. They also provide us another attorney for anything that we mess up on. It holds us to that standard. So when you call, we just don't go, okay, we're sending somebody and hang up on you.
Okay. But right now we don't have anybody full time, right?
Correct, but I'm not sure I need it full time right at this moment. Just because of how we're doing, the quality assurance specialist is supposed to do quite a few things. And if I had it full time, there's actually nowhere to put them. They have to work a console in the room because we don't have room in the building next door. We all have to sit in the same room.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So for the dispatchers, we have supposed to have 12. And we have 7 full-time dispatchers and 1 part-time. And 2 of those are in training. So we have they're considered full-time employees, and they count as a dispatcher, but 2 of them are in training.
Are they all in town?
Yes.
Mr. Martin, you had a question?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to that QC specialist. Since it's not a, it seems like it's not a, well, an 8-hour job, would that, my idea at that position, you could dual that position as a trainer also.
That's against their philosophy.
That's against whom?
The emergency dispatch philosophy. Just like the same thing, I should not have a supervisor that's giving you feedback because then it's a fear-based thing. If I'm giving you negative feedback, it needs to be in a safe place and not coming from a supervisor.
So who, well. In your mind, who would be the training supervisor, somebody that trains the, you know, your
we
staff?
We all train.
So what's the difference?
We have to train on the job. We train with somebody sitting right beside us.
Well, you're a director, so doesn't that contradict your statement?
No, for the quality assurance. For the quality assurance, when we give feedback, it has to be separate than a supervisor giving you your feedback. Because it's supposed to be a safe feedback type thing. It's not a punitive thing. I do the punitive part of it.
Why would it be punitive?
Because if you...
You want to uplift your staff.
Right, but quality assurance can be punitive. Because if you're not held to the standard, we're going to get rid of you. It's negligent retention. And we're holding the city. So if I kept an employee just to keep an employee, and they were a bad employee, that's creating a problem on the city. It's a liability on the city, and we can't do that.
Ms. Sprinkle.
You're saying the quality assurance person is kind of a firewall, separate, neutral space.
Yes.
But
yes.
You as the manager would still be able to say, you're not doing a good job.
Yes.
You got to go.
That's where I step in, yes.
Basically,
the quality assurance tells me, and then I do the discipline part of it, yes.
The quality assurance specialist is our auditor of
yes.
the people.
Okay.
Yeah. They're auditing and telling me where we need to train better and do better, and then I'm the one that's dealing with the discipline part of it. It's a separate person.
So to Lonnie's point, you can't train and do quality assurance because you're mixing and matching.
You can, but you can't be in charge of it.
Well,
it's kind of like,
okay,
to be the FTO, like we all train, but we also switch around who's quality assurance to who. So it's supposed to be like a line person, dispatcher. We do have some supervisors and stuff like that, but we have to manage our people of how many people. So we have a flow chart, like these people will all be queued by this person. These people will be all queued by this person. So that way we are not crossing those lines and they have that safe space. So they're learning and not scared of discipline. So if I'm always giving you negative feedback and I'm your boss, are you really learning from me or are you scared you're gonna get fired?
But the quality assurance you've just mentioned is in fact working with your cohorts instead
yes,
of having
yes.
a neutral position.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense either to me.
They work with them. They work with them and say, hey, this is where this person needs a little bit of guidance. So every time that we get feedback, I get feedback too. Every time I answer the phone, somebody can go and randomly take my call, give me feedback, and where it goes from there. Inside of our policies, you can only have a certain level of standard. And it's based on the priority dispatch standard and our standards that are in our policies. And from there, if you're not upholding the standard, then it goes to progressive discipline or retraining. And we give you so many times for a plan improvement. Okay, you're having troubles with this part of it. What if you're never even asking the address to send someone and you just send them? Well, that's a problem because we're going to be chasing our resources. Oh, well, the cell phone said here. Okay, but you need to ask where the problem is because we're sending the wrong agency when the problem was over here or whatever. So then we figure out where the problem is in our protocols because not only do we use these protocols, it's for sending the fire chiefs or, the fire departments. So if I send too many engines, I send too many ambulances, just like you guys were all talking about before with the resources, if I don't do this correctly, I'm oversending. The Phillips Field accident that you guys were talking about, we go through those to make sure we're not sending too many resources. If I send too many resources as a dispatcher, I can be sued if they get in an accident because I oversent, not the fire department, I sent too many people. And so as a dispatcher and as an employee of the city, we could all be sued because I didn't do my job correctly. So if we constantly oversend, that's holding the city to a liability that they should not have.
Please continue. Thank you.
Okay, so then we have the call taker positions. Currently, we have two part-time call takers, and then we have two vacant, and thank you, Jake, for giving me all my data. Oh, sorry, that one's not, we have one time full-time admin assistant as well.
Is she in that area, just sitting with you guys?
He,
okay.
And he's downstairs, in a little office.
He's in a safe room.
Hiding, huh?
He's in Jake's old water closet.
Sorry. Go ahead, Christy.
Then we don't have any more on those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Ringsted, then Ms. Therian.
We've got at the bottom, we've got 2 call takers or halftime call takers. But up above, you say you've got 1.5 call takers.
So technically, the front desk is a call taker position in PSEA. And then we have one that is works upstairs most of the time, but she can cover downstairs as well. So we used to have 1.5 desks down there, and then the remodel from the previous chief cut the position or the spot.
At this point, we have 3.5 call takers.
Yes.
Why on the org chart is it not down here with the rest of the call takers?
Because it's a front desk call taker. So the bottom part of this flow chart is everything that's upstairs in the room. The other part is located in a different area. I can call her up at any time.
What is what's the most of the workload for that? You got 1.5 people, right? So what's most of the workload? Being the front desk or taking calls?
Both. I mean, the front desk, every time you call the admin line to the police department, it goes to the front desk. And if it doesn't go to the front desk, it goes to dispatch. So either way, we're carrying it. It just depends on where you're sitting in the building.
Is that where the non-emergency numbers go first?
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Therian.
We funnel them through there first.
So you're fine with the call takers being reduced to 3.5?
Yes, at this time.
Okay. That's my questions, too.
Continue, Christine.
Okay, so are we on page 67 now?
No, we're still on trainees.
You're trainees.
Trainees? Well, they got cut, and I thought they were going to the other part of the city budget. Were they cut altogether? I thought they were going to city budget.
They moved to general account. Okay.
I can still use them.
It's called trainees.
Okay, now let's go to holiday staffing.
Our holiday staffing? OT staffing?
Yep.
For us, in dispatch, we're only going to have you work a holiday if you're benefiting the room. Otherwise, you're off. If you're a trainee and not super beneficial to the room, you're just going to have the holiday off as a paid holiday, and you won't be in the room with us.
Let's go over to page 67 now. Or Mr. Ringsted.
On that, then. And what you're doing is making it so the people, if you've got multiple trainees, more of your regular people aren't getting holidays off. If you're spreading that holiday time over fewer people.
I guess I don't understand.
If you've got 4 people and 2 of them are training, so they can't work holidays, the other 2 have to work all the holidays.
Well, the trainer has to be there no matter what. You have to have trained staff in the room.
What I'm saying is what the fallback is the regular, the full-time employees are stuck at working most of their holidays.
They would be stuck working anyways because even if you had a trainee in the room, you have to have a trainer with them. So let's say
nobody wants to work all the holidays. Right?
I don't understand. We have to work every day 24/7.
Everybody gets stuck. One or 2 people get stuck doing all the holidays.
It's your schedule. Your schedule is your schedule. If you want to take the holiday you off, you can. And then somebody else is forced in to work your holiday. The trainee, if they're not beneficial, let's say you start on the 16th and tomorrow's a holiday, I'm not going to have you work.
My concern isn't the trainees. My concern is the morale of the employees that don't ever get taken the holidays off.
Is this a thing?
No, they can take leave. If they want to take leave by the contract, they can take leave. And then somebody else has to work. But there has to be somebody there 24/7.
We all know that.
Mr. Marley.
So in your overtime budget, how much of that is forced?
Margarita, can you tell me?
We'll have to analyze your overtime.
Well,
I can get back with you on that.
It's very hard to tell what's forced and what's volunteered because you have to cover the center 24/7, no matter what. And you have to have enough people that there has to be 2 people always working in the room. because somebody has to go to the bathroom. So somebody has to be in the room 24/7, and the other person has to be there as well. Now, there is times that people will volunteer for the overtime, because let's say I want to work at 7 p.m. instead of working at 7 a.m. after my schedule. So you volunteer to work it because you know you're going to be forced for one or the other. So forced overtime is hard to calculate compared to forced overworked. Forced overworked is that you didn't have any days off or you worked too many hours in a row.
Over the last 2 years, would you say your forced overtime is increasing, stable, or decreasing?
It's really hard to tell because it goes seniority order. You don't know if somebody actually wants it or they know it's going to come to them anyway, so they sign up where they want to do it. That's the way it's been for 20-some years.
Ms. Therian, Mr. Marnie, then Ms. Sprinkle.
If you only have 7.5 people and you need 12, where are we? Are you still trying to get to 12?
Yes, we're always taking, and Jake can actually answer more of exactly where all the hiring stuff is and all of that.
Council, as I've explained to you, the hardest position to fill, it takes the most training, is a dispatcher. Mm-hmm. It's a year. Next is a police officer. Next is a heavy-duty mechanic. Next is a grader operator. Next is an engineer. Next is a building official. So.
Could we get an update, please?
Council, in the email that was sent to all of you yesterday, I put down where the headcount is along with HR's interpretation of where we are for openings. You currently have 3 vacant positions in the dispatcher role. However, you have 1 offer that's being extended and 1 person in background. So that'll be a 2nd offer that's extended. So you're potentially looking at only 1 vacancy in that slot by the end of the year. However, I will also caution this body that 4 of those would be trainees. And so we won't know whether or not they pass training for 6 to 12 months. In your call taker positions, you have 2 part-time people, you have 2 vacancies, we have 2 part-time offers prepared to go out. So you're probably looking at call takers being filled by the end of the year as well. Correct. However, I will also caution again, it's 3 to 6 months to know whether or not those trainees are going to make it in the room.
Mr. Marty, Ms. Sprinkle, then Mr. Ringstead.
Almost forgot what I was going to
ask. That happens to me a lot. Mr. Marty, do you need coffee or?
No, I've got coffee.
Yeah, Pepsi, like from Springstead?
I'm going to go back to track and overtime and forced. Would that be your job, Brendan, when you come on board?
That I don't know. She's going to give me the.
We need to track that.
Duties. It's in a computer program. So we bid our overtime in a computer program. So everybody has the chance, seniority order, to bid your overtime. What is not bid after that is forced. So it's in our computer program of exactly if you bid it or you were forced or if you were forced overworked.
And the other thing, I'm kind of disappointed that when we approve this call taker position, be it part-time, whatever, but that to me was our bullpen. So you get these people kind of trained at the basics. And then as you get a good one, you see 1 or 2 that are good, then you move them up the ladder. So it downs your training time, and then you feed from down to up. And it doesn't sound like we're doing that.
That's what the training bracket is that's in the city general budget. We can do that still. That training,
but are we?
Everybody starts as a call taker.
Mr. Jake. I wasn't going to say MedCalf. I was stumbling over the M word. Mr. Mayor.
Council, in regards to hiring for this year, the city has brought on 30 employees, 8 of which were hired for this department. This department has made up over 1/4 of all of the hires in the city and has the smallest amount of resignations in the city. The department is doing what it's supposed to be doing as far as the hiring process. You're just looking at this being a slow process, so it doesn't feel that way. But numbers-wise, this is the department that has the most people coming on and the most people making it through the pieces.
Less turnover.
Correct.
Ms. Sprinkle, then Mr. Ringstead.
I'm looking at my current book at the back for overtime in your department. I see it's 175% of what we budgeted. I guess what I'm confused by is if you're saying you bid overtime, it just, first of all, that seems a shame. I hate that we have to force any overtime. But what is that? Is it just because we are short these people, or is that how you typically do it? You bid overtime. I don't.
We always have bid overtime if there's a vacancy. So it just, there's a lot more to it now. So the way that we're saving right now is having our remote dispatchers come up and fill those vacancies. Instead of working remote, they're working in the room. So then you don't have to have two people in there. I come up and I work the floor. So I have somebody holding over for me right now because I'm supposed to be working the floor today. So that way nobody has to work when I'm up here. They get the opportunity to work because that's the PSEA contract. But if they don't, I fill in for them for the day, and then I do my job as I'm going or just after my hours off the floor. So
because we're just undermanned.
Yes, and we're trying to give them. And, you know, the holidays. I'm flying back up for the holiday so some people can have their time off. And, you know, those things, we balance it out in the room and try to work together as much as we can because we're the only ones that we have to help each other. And we try to teach that when you come in the door. If you do something for someone, they'll help you. We're like a little small family.
So how is morale?
I would say really good. We have two people that went to training. They're in there right now, and that's also why I have to work the floors. We sent them to training for CTO training. For me, it's pretty good. Brenda can answer. She's in there. She's like, I don't want to.
Oh, throw her under the bus. Yeah, Brenda.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that there is a lot of overtime. I mean, I came up and I'm working and I'm going to stay through Thanksgiving also because people want it off. I feel like when we come up here to help them, it does help alleviate some of their overtime woes because they still want to go do things and when
little
they're
life,
here.
Right?
Yeah. And so being short-staffed is kind of, you know, unfortunate. And so, I mean, nobody likes it, but I feel like we do have really good camaraderie in there. And so, like she said, we do work together. If somebody gets overtime that they don't want, then, or they have some plans. I mean, one of the girls wants to go do something special. Since I'm here, I'm working her shift for her, you know? And so it's just stuff that we do that we don't have to do. And so that's how we keep going.
So when you're here from wherever you live,
yeah,
here, mm-hmm. I mean, you have to have time off, right? You can't work 24 hours a day.
I don't work 24. I lived here for 40 years before I left, moved out. And so, and I've only been gone a few years. But coming back, I have to reestablish again, you know. But I literally work every day that I'm here. When I come up here, I fly the day and I work the night and I work 12 hours. Sometimes 16 if I'm put in that predicament. But for the most time, I don't do that. But it is literally, I got here on the 1st of November, and I'm leaving on the 29th, and I'm working straight 12s.
Is that good?
Well, I think that it helps these guys that happen to work all the time, too, so it gives them their breaks and helps them get refreshed, and then I go home, and I still work remote, but I still have, that's where I have my days off. And so it's really just about helping your coworkers.
I get it. I just, okay.
Christy, we talked yesterday in regards to camaraderie and the attitude and everything. It seems to be going well. What is the food delivery that will be on Thanksgiving to you?
The mayor's food. Everybody wants to work the holidays now.
What will be the...
It's
we discussed
Beef Wellington.
It. That's right.
What was the
Beef Wellington.
Ooh.
So... The mayor provides.
I'll take calls.
You know,
we'll train you.
Once a week, no matter what, I walk through there. The chief of staff walks through there 2 to 3 times a week. Check on everyone. Say hello. We don't interrupt. We just let them know we're there. And it's a very good way to take a pulse. And I would encourage all of you to do that. I enjoyed it. I talked to the police officers, make my rounds, go upstairs. They let me in. Yesterday she was feeding some endangered species of a gecko or whatever it was. I would encourage you all, once in a while, just drop in there. You have the permission. They'll buzz you in to say, I'm Sue Sprinkle, city council member. Want to come up and say hello? And do it. It's self-checking. just do it. So anyway.
We would appreciate anybody to come and sit with us. I do caution, when you come sit with us, please don't ask us about the police department the whole time. We want it to be about us. Not another department.
And never ask, is it a slow day or a busy day? You never do that.
You always say it's nice and quiet. They love when I say that. Because I like it to be busy, and I like to have things to do besides my normal job. And so they always get mad when I say the word quiet.
Mr. Ring said you had a question, sir.
I think, Jake, with your note here from yesterday, we're making headway on at least getting offers made and people in there. But I'm looking at this now, sitting here for 2 years. I think we had 6 or 7 vacancies when I got here. We had 8 2 months ago. We're starting to get them filled, but we've got a net gain of about 0 until we get them filled. And I think consistently we've had, you put out offers, and we're getting about half of them that actually wind up staying and being employees. People go in, people go out. Somewhere the net, if we're going to change the workload and change the overtime and the stress, we have to get people that are going to stay there. And I just don't see that we've been able to do that for 2 years. So that's one of my concerns. Another one that we had talked about a while back was about getting a separate training system, having outside training, outside trainers. It's a separate room, so when your people are taking calls, they don't have to be training at the same time. Has that gone anywhere? Are we done? I mean, are we ever going to get it up and running, or where are we at?
Are we ever going to get? Yes, we're going to get it up and running. And so we already have training going on in this building right now. The fire training center stuff. That's not us just slacking off. That's we're waiting on. Yeah, we're waiting on. Yeah, we have training going on in this building right now. I mean,
on their computer system and doing that.
Yes, out of Jake's office.
Mr. Merritt, you wanted to say something prior.
Yeah, so two things, Council. One of the things that was just brought up was the feeling that the department is never getting to fully staffed. I will say that our numbers and our trends are matching a national trend of what's happening in dispatch centers, just like it is with police departments. Our fire department has been secure from that issue so far. In speaking to training, yes, we've carved out a space that is separate from the room where they will be able to remote into the console computers so that they can be doing things in those programs. We're utilizing a little experience from outside of the room in order to assist, and then also giving them a quiet, safe place where they can be listening to calls using the AI system. They can be taking their courses and things like that so that pressure comes off both the trainee and the trainer, yes.
Is that full time, a couple hours a day? Is it a 2-month deal?
It depends on what area in their training program they are. In the beginning, yes, that person is out of the room more than in the room because they're learning to use the programs. They're working with Christy in what we would call academy phase, and they're taking their courses through IAED in order to become certified in order to perform the job duties in the room.
So that's up.
Once they're past that, it would become less that they're out of the room, and times where they're out of the room focused on a specific thing or doing something like that. But yes, we are doing what we can to create the relief of pressure that we can.
Mr. Marnie, then Ms. Sprinkle.
So, Jake, I know you've been over there a lot lately. So are you filling that role as a trainer?
So, no. I have filled in order to cover for people to have appointments or have something come up, I believe, 3 times in the last month and a half. more than happy to fill in. I still have all of my certifications. I still meet the criteria to work in the room. I don't think Christy wants me to work in the room as frequently as I would like to work in the room. It's enjoyable. One of the things that, and this is just a side piece, one of the things I struggled with when the city made the offer for me to move to this role was leaving that team, which I, when I didn't make it through training the first round and I came back as the admin, I was happy to be unemployed for that time period to wait for the admin position to open up so that I could be a part of that team in a way that I could actually do the job. And so I will say I enjoy working with this group. I enjoy being in the room, and where I I think that the city has a really lucky piece where people from outside are happy to fill in if they're able to. But no, I wouldn't say that I'm over there consistently. I wouldn't say that I'm taking work or anything. I cover the occasional appointment here or there. I may assist answering a trainee's questions when their trainer is doing something else, but I'm still certified to do those things as well.
So who's training?
The whatever shift supervisor is in the room or a trainer that's assigned to that trainee at the time.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Remind me, please. When we have a trainee, are they at full pay or do they have to go through their training and then get full pay? What do
they're
we do
at
there?
Pay.
Full pay. But we don't know if they're going to work out for another, is it a year?
No, but I mean, technically they're doing the job beside me. I'm just watching them do it. So they're answering the phone. They're doing this. If you tried to cut their pay, they're going to go to AST.
I'm just trying to get a sense of where we are with this.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we lose a lot of people. They go to AST and UAF. They make more money than us. The stress is the same. The workload is the same. Yes, it's different, but they make more money than us until this new contract goes through.
I was going to say, is the new contract numbers, are we looking at those? Or are they to be added?
Those will be added.
So that's...
Yeah, they're not...
Not in here.
Until they're approved. Yeah.
Thank you.
But... You have a $1,936,000 reserve to do that to.
Understood. Can I ask one last question?
Certainly.
Trainees with benefits. It's gone in here, and I heard Margarita say it's now in the general fund.
It's in a general account.
A general
account.
It's
still in a general fund, but it's under general account. There's a line item for trainees, and it covers all departments.
So it's kind of like a slush fund for training?
Well,
for a better word.
Yeah.
Lack. Okay, just want to make sure. So anybody who wants it can go to you and say, hey, I need.
Right,
or do
correct.
They come to us and say, hey, I need?
No, they can come to me and say, I need, I know I have XYZ positions leaving, and I want to bring in so many staff so I can get started and get ahead of making sure somebody's in place to replace that position.
And if we don't use that money for the year, what happens to that?
It goes to the bottom line, and it goes into the fund balance.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Therian.
And I do have an answer for Mr. Marnie on the overtime. They
Bell.
Had overworked. They had 1,040 hours, 0.5, and overworked for 2024.
That sounds horrible.
One half an hour.
Gosh.
What did I hear you write one half an hour?
Yeah.
No. 1,040.5
hours.
I think we're
overwork.
Done with that discussion. Ms. Therian.
Yes, I'm looking at employee benefits, and it's dropped considerably. Can you explain why? Yes, I thought we were on that. No?
Yeah, if you're dropping my full-time employees, they're not going to have benefits. I can answer that one, Margarita. Yes.
So that's just the difference in two employees?
It's all four of them are going to be part-time, so they're all losing their benefits.
Look at me, Margarita.
Let's go to your training, 5302.
Okay.
Margarita, you want to bring us through the training, what we did there?
Yes, we reviewed the history of this department and the the reasons for the training, and we adjusted it based on the historical.
Christy?
I think we'll be fine. We don't have as many people to send to CCM. We were able to cover the supervisors that we have in the room now. It will be anybody that we have that comes in after this, if they're, that we would have to send to CCM, and we don't have to send them right away. Most of our training budget is to go through the protocols and what we spend on our protocols. It's a little bit different because in the state of Alaska, I believe we are the only center that doesn't answer to a police or fire department. So when you compare us to another department, Alaska State Troopers, their police or their department has to answer all the way up the chain of command. Same thing with university. They answer to the university police chief. We are the only ones that don't do that. You're welcome, police and fire, for not making you deal with dispatch, too. But police officers, they go to class for 4 months. They go to an academy. They learn their stuff there. The state of Alaska does not have that here. We do not have a minimum standard of the quality of person that you're going to get answering your phone. Other places that have sheriff departments and stuff like that, you have to go to an academy to answer a phone. We provide our own academy. And I would like to say I'm very proud of our department and Stephanie that always put us and made us get training. A lot of departments look to us to see how we are doing it and are copying us. Alaska State Troopers never had a training program. They are going through and getting certified in different ways. University is, Fort Wainwright is. There are a lot of agencies that are doing the same things that we're doing. So if you cut our standards at the same time, they're going to go somewhere else that gives them that security.
Ms. Sprinkle, then Ms. Ringstead.
You mentioned a couple times CCM.
Then Ms. Therian.
CCM and going to CCM.
Yes.
Where is this? Is it here in town or is
it
somewhere?
No, it's Comm Center Manager. It's an online and in-person course. It's 4 months. You network, you have problem solving. They have you write papers. They have you learn about liability. They learn, have you learn some stuff about HR as a manager, what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to say, when you should go to HR, when you should bring them in, kind of some budget stuff, everything like that. My boss, Stephanie Johnson, before our boss, she went to it and she found it very important. So you go there also for 2 weeks, 1 week, and then a couple months later you go for another week. You do a group project. You do all of this stuff.
Where is this?
It depends on where they're having it. Oklahoma City was the last place, but it's Fitch and Associates that does it.
So it's out of state. You have
yes.
to fly them down. They stay
yes.
the whole time. We take
but
care of all that.
Yes, you only have to stay for 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank
Mr.
You.
Marnie, or is it Mr. Ringstead?
So part of the training is travel money, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Therian.
Yes.
you're done.
Amount of money that we spent on training in 24. We've got an amended at 44,926. Is that less?
Yes, and 20, and their training to date is 36,641. Prior years it was 33,000 a year. In 2022 it was 24,000.
So we trended it up anyway.
Okay. All right. And then with regard to uniforms, what do we need uniforms? Why?
It was so we could have jackets. Okay. So Stephanie.
Oh, Ms. Therian.
Used to ask.
Oh, Ms. Therian. Oh, boy.
Stephanie Johnson asked for years. You can ask Jerry.
15 years.
Years for jackets. And the mayor finally let us have jackets last this year. And so it's.
It helps
call,
the camaraderie.
I got jackets. We provide our own clothes. We do everything. But, like, when we go to, like, have pictures or anything like that, we all look different, you know, that type of thing. So it used to be really cold in there, so we just wanted a jacket. And that's the mayor got us jackets. So
3 weeks ago, I had a photo taken with them, and they all had their jackets on.
So
we have new people. We have new people coming in, and, you know, if you look at everything we do for police, fire, I thought dispatch, we should have a clothing allowance for you
but
so they get
jacked.
Yeah. What's that?
It's not in the
budget.
You have it under $3,000 under.
No, it's empty.
That was my request.
Oh. Well, you know, I was pretty stingy that day I saw you, ladies. So I hope someone saves my backside and puts it in right now. Ms. So Frank says, is that a motion put in $3,000 for... Ms. Sprinkle, is that a motion?
I was going to say they could come to the mayor's budget, contingency budget.
You know, I might have to... Somehow they're going to get jackets. You can put them now or later.
Well, how many do we need anyway? It doesn't sound like we need
it. It depends on how many new people. Right now, we have jackets for all of us that ordered the first time. We're ordering some more jackets. Brenda's putting that together. We're actually going to order a couple more jackets. So when people get out of training, we're like, here's your jacket. And then they can have it, but they don't get it until they get out of training.
Margarita, what's the 2024 expense on that?
Less than $1,000. It was $930,000.
Our order's in right now.
So, okay, so we don't need anything. We got the order in. Okay, that's why I pulled it. That's
okay.
I'm so magnificent. Okay.
Is there a pending order?
I do not see a pending.
It's not pending on her side yet. We're ordering it and getting the quote right now. We had to get everybody's sizes, so it should be in there. Yes. This, well, not... Not next year. I'll give it up. I'll give it up next year. We're going to order some extra jackets. Okay. So okay. As long as we get it the next time.
Well, Mr. Ringstead.
So I want to go back to this. Maybe this is Margarita. Trainees with benefits. That's a general account that you use for everybody. Is that basically paying salaries?
Yes, it'll be paying for salary and benefits under the trainees account. It's under the general account.
So if we want a true accounting of what the salary cost, we've got to put those two numbers or part of that number in here to see what our departments are costing us.
Yes, yes. When we look at a department, we will need to look at what's happening in the trainees account.
Does that happen in the audit?
We can do it at any time. The way it works is that charge goes directly to the department, and then I move it. So I can always look at what department it was, who it was, and how much it was. And I think this year we used it for the Public Works Department when we had a change in Public Works Director, and we had them both working at the same time. That is what it's used for, is when you have two people in that position.
We did that same thing for the lawyer, the law office.
We had it in the legal department in the building. However, when we budgeted last year for those two departments, we budgeted within the department. And it was after we went through that process that we added this trainees account back in for any other department. So it was set aside for fire department. If the chief knows that somebody is leaving, he can start the hiring process. In fact, you had the funds. You actually added additional funds to cover for when the fire department can start adding additional positions. In your second budget amendment this year, you did that. So that's what it's for. It's to start getting things moving so that we don't end up with this timing difference and having not prepared for when a person leaves, to make sure at least somebody's in place and being trained.
Thank you, Margarita. Let's go to operating supplies.
So our operating supplies, I moved it down a little bit because I moved two of the programs things that we pay out of that, I moved it into a different budget for the dues and applications. This is everything that takes to run our center 24/7. So headsets, tape, pens, you know, we're in there 24/7, everything that it takes to run the room.
Margarita, what's our historical basis of that?
Historically, this account was $33,000 and $23,000, and this year it looks like it might be at $40,000. Okay. There's a $30,000 with a $9,000.
Okay.
Right.
Is there any changes to that one, Council?
The feel like 30 is going to get you?
I mean, I don't really know. It just depends on what goes out. We're pretty good with our stuff that we keep. Jake used to order our stuff. And so, I mean, we try to keep our stuff up and running, but you never know. All of a sudden, all the mice might die at the same time. Like, every one of our consoles has 3 mice on it, and that is to run the 5 different computers on it. So you just never know when something's going to happen. And when it does, it's usually all of them because they were bought around the same time. But it is very important for us, like, you will keep this equipment running and be good to it, because that's what we have to do. Not only do I have to answer to you guys for my budget, I have to answer to all the fire departments and police departments that we dispatch for. We have to keep our stuff at a minimum cost, because that raises their cost at the same time.
So you're okay with the 30 at the moment?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Dues and publications.
That's the one that went up. We have 3 trainings that we pay for. So we also pay the 2 that I moved out of. There are some programs called APCO and NINA. So they are a membership to be part of these 911 groups. You have daily trainings that can come out to you. You have trainings that you can go to. It's cheaper to go to the training if you're part of the membership, but you have online forums. You can go out and ask questions. It's like a networking, but there's also trainings that are free that you can sign up to get by being part of the group. So that's where I move those other parts. And then we also pay for When Seconds Counts, which is the CDE, and we are required to have so much monthly training.
Thank you. Let's look at other outside contracts.
So this is just the programs that it takes to run our room, like our alarm center. We transfer the money from the quality assurance into our outside contracts right now to pay for those outside contracts. So it's a wash on that money. So it looks kind of funny, but that's where we pay anybody to run our different things. Margarita, can you tell me?
Now,
Jake,
there's a pretty sharp declining value there that I put on you. Are you good with $110,000? And Margarita, what's our amount on that right now?
Well, right now, I was going to mention that she has 2 major contracts that she pays for under this account, which are equivalent to about $95,000, and that's Procom and Westnet. But to date, it's at $186,785. And the reason why you're seeing high numbers for those 2 years is the quality assurance. She just renegotiated a new contract for that, which is less than what she was paying for that service. So that's the reason why also that
number dropped. You know, Christy, I say to every department head, you know, ask for anything you want. You believe that this will get you through the year?
I believe I probably need a little bit more. You never know when somebody's going to raise their price. Westnet is a big one, and Procom is a big one. Westnet does all of our fire alerting and dispatching, and if they raise their service fees or anything like that, I'm not going to know it until later. We just paid our Westnet bill, so next year I don't know exactly what's going to be. And then Procom does all of our recordings and all of our radios, and that is the cheaper one. I could pay Motorola, which we all know Motorola costs way more. So we use Procom, and they work great with us, and they do the stuff for Motorola at a cheaper cost.
We have Mr. Ringstead, Ms. Sprinkle, and Ms. Therian.
Quality assurance.
Yes.
We had somebody on contract. Now we've also got a quality assurance in it as a salaried position.
Yes.
So is it 2 different things. People, or is it that's part of the savings is that we're over here doing in this line as opposed to into our salaries as opposed to into
it,
our...
It's basically a wash. I take that money that's in the quality assurance spot and I pay it. And I move that money to the outside contracts to pay for it. But the last person was renegotiating their contract and wanted more money. And I said, I can't do that. I need to actually do what it's worth and make it cheaper. And I'm sorry, we're going to end our contract.
So we're reducing it here, but having it in the
yes.
salaries.
And so then if we ever do get that person or a place for them to sit next door, then they could do that. Until we have somewhere that they, you cannot listen to a phone call in headphones and give feedback to somebody sitting next to five other people in the room. You can't
Miss,
do
Ms. Sprinkle, then Therian, then Mr. Clayworth is going to chime in.
So let me get this straight, because I guess I'm confused. The quality assurance person that we don't have in a seat, is being their money is being used to pay for these contracts?
No, their money is being used to pay for them in the outside contract. So they're an outside contract, so I take that quality assurance money and pay them on the outside contract. I do a budget transfer, or I transfer that money.
You're saying there's a quality assurance person outside?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't that be, okay, no, okay, hang on. So that's right, it's an outside contractor. So if we want to find somebody in-house, we take that money back?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We would cancel the contract and do that.
Thank you.
Given the fact that we spent $186,785 this year, I think we should bump up the $110,000 to maybe $130,000. Would that help or not?
I think so, yes. It doesn't make me question what I'm going to pay or not pay.
Yeah.
Well, would you come to us anyway?
Yes, I would, but you would have to find the money then. I mean, it's not much of a difference. It's the WestNet, ProCom, and any other side little thing that we have to have an outside contract for. You know, we pay for our evaluation program. We pay for all these little different things, the smaller programs that we have. They're usually not much. We have an alarm monitoring system that we dislike, but it actually makes money, so we have to keep it. So we monitor police and burglary alarms. Well, we pay for that as well. Mm-hmm. And so that program and stuff like that that we have to pay for.
Oh, so you make money on that?
Yes.
Mr. Clayworth.
Does anybody agree on that?
No, I agree with you. I say let's go ahead and bump it 20,000.
Is there a concurrence on moving that from 110 to 130?
No.
Okay, discussion. Mr. Marnie.
I think we come back to that and recap.
We can.
Margarita, would you make a note of that? Okay, let's go to utilities.
This is all used for one program. Last year, we asked for it to be bumped up because we were going to add. So APSIN is a program that we use to run all of our driver's license, our state network, see if you have warrants, anything like that. So we have to use that for the officers. They raised their, we were going to add some licenses and everything. The state controls that. There's no other way around it. We were going to add some, and then it cost way too much money to add them. It was, we were grandfathered in. We had so many licenses, and we wanted to add like five more, but it was going to triple our cost, and I said, never mind. So we have not spent that money. And we also, the police department, I think, has a line item as well for APSIN. They cover their part. We cover our part. They are going to a new system in 2025. We do not know the cost of it. It is a Windows-based program instead of a AS400 program. So other states have it and everything like that. We don't know the cost, but it should be cheaper. We just have no idea what it's going to cost us.
Mr. Clayworth.
We're still using an AS400?
Yes, we are.
It's still in the closet over there?
No, these ones are the state system, but it's the same type of thing. But yes, our AS400, and that's also why it's very hard to train people. When you have to train them two different programs and teach them what a PF2 means program function 2, and your keyboard doesn't actually say that, it is very hard to teach people an AS400 system that grew up in a Windows-based program.
God, I don't know what that means.
Oh, Sue, you're with a room
I'm
full
fired,
of,
right?
You're with a room full of people that are the same way. Don't worry.
Have you ever seen a computer
Mr.
with
Ringstead.
A green screen?
Margarita?
Yes.
Why is this called utilities? It sounds like to me it's either an outside contract or a dues you're subscribing to something. I mean, when I saw utilities, I'm thinking, what's utilities?
Electric, gas, yeah.
I don't find anything, yeah. I don't see anything in this description that sounds like utilities to me.
Well, I think it's because this is grandfathered in, I guess you can say, along with the system itself. But I think it just wants to identify it as separately because it's a different system.
Actually, Mr. Ringstead, think about your phone. Think about your settings. Think about your settings and your utilities. Same concept.
Okay, so
I mean, it just seems like
that's
a misnomer.
That's my stab at trying to explain it.
Yeah, well, think of it as a telephone under our world, the county world, is considered really a utility.
And it is. It runs off a special network that is completely different. It's in the state network. It comes into this building, and it has its own secure network, everything.
Let's go to 7203, Community Promotions.
So this one was when Interior Chiefs and stuff, they had certain things that you had to be part of their, not have to be, but Interior Chiefs has a program, and then you go out and when you buy your lunch to be part of that program or be part of that group and have a word in their stuff, and that's what that money is used for. It's different than the community promotions that probably are used in the police department, stuff like that. It's our networking money that, you know, I'm part of this group, but I don't have to pay for it myself.
Ms. Brinkle.
I appreciate that. It's like walking around money.
Yeah, if it's like if I go to this lunch with this group of people and we have to host it, or we used to host fire users meeting, and so when we would host an outside meeting, we would pay for that, so, you know, the little snacks or whatever.
But that begs the question, community promotions, that sounds like a weird description for it anyway, but in fact, does Teal help you guys do your own promotions?
No.
Why not?
She works for the police department.
Yeah, but you guys are... I don't understand that. So anyway, that was a question I had because that seems like it should be something you guys do together. Okay, that was it. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to equipment replacement.
So we always put money aside to replace our room. We did pull it out this year to try to do it. We cannot get a configuration for the desks in the room. The space is too small to change how we're doing it. If anybody's been over there, we have a line down the middle of the room and you're on opposite sides of the room. Well, we have 8 monitors, and so trying to talk over those, and you know, we constantly have mute switches. We have to talk to the other people in the room. We had a motor vehicle accident yesterday at Airport and Pegger. There was 4 of us answering the phones. We have to say, okay, do you have medical? Do you have police? Do you have this? Not only are we answering the phone, but we are trying to coordinate in the room who's doing what with what kind of the call, so we're not oversending or anything like that. So as people are on different sides of the room, it's very difficult to talk to each other. So we were trying to reconfigure the room. The space is too small with the ADA compliant. We can't get that many consoles, so I asked Margarita to put our money back in. We'll work on it again next year to try to redo the room so it's more functional, because right now, if you guys come to the door, we run around the room, go get it, and run back. It's not very functional. It worked at the time-ish, but we need to figure out how we can be closer together and still be ADA compliant in the room.
When was your facility built?
The whole building was built in 2001.
So you're looking at a 23-year-old building design?
Yes.
Mr. Ringstead, then Mr. Cleworth.
So, Margarita, Christy had said that you asked to put this back in. How much did we spend in the last 2 years on this?
If you can go to page 114 in your capital budget, I'll explain what's going on, because you'll see that the funds are not back in. I'll have to put those funds back in on the first budget amendment of 2025.
But did we do something last year, last year?
Last year you appropriated the funds that was in this department to do what she mentioned. And normally I would, in your final budget amendment, bring those funds back in and then we would reappropriate it in this process. However, I did not have the information to put it back in before we finalized our budget amendment. I should say before the budget amendment came before you. Therefore, I'll have to do it on the first budget amendment of 2025.
So it's the same project.
Yes.
And the same money.
And it's the same money.
And the money is sitting in our, in the capital.
Correct.
Fund now.
Any other questions? Mr. Clayworth.
Yes.
I don't get to finish my answer here.
Oh, sorry.
She was still talking.
I saw Mr. Clayworth jumping up and down.
Yes, so, no, so you appropriated in last year's, in your 2024 budget, 1.316 to do
which
the...
Which included this piece.
Right, for okay, for so her to I guess you could see upgrade the center. And she wasn't able to complete it in 2024. So those funds are sitting there available if she wanted to spend it. Between now and December 31, you have appropriated it. If she does not spend the funds between now and December, then in your first budget amendment in 2025, you will see those funds coming back in into the department to be reappropriated.
Ms. Clayworth, then Ms. Sprinkle.
First, to follow up with you, Margarita, the fund balance that we're showing for capital right now is 6.4 million. Does that not reflect in the monies that we're talking about now?
It does not.
So the actual fund balance would be closer to about
7.7. Yeah.
About what now?
It would be closer to 7.7 if you include it, because this fund that under the Communication Center is appropriated okay. for that department to spend by the end of this right. year. So it's not reflected in this number.
And Christy, we have always put aside, I see 140,000 here, so much a year, knowing that every 10 years or so, we've got to replace the consoles. We just haven't, the last time we did that was back about 2012 or something. If I remember
2014. Right. So 2014. It would have been this year that we would have done it.
Okay. So it's just very important to keep that line item in there. Because every now and then we have to replace the consoles and update the system.
Yes, and there isn't a benefit if we are able to hold it over till next year and we are able to get the fire training center. When we upgrade the room over there, we can take those consoles and put them in the other one so we don't have to furnish the other one. The consoles aren't bad, but when you use them 24/7 and you have people going standing up, sitting down, we're moving and doing things and the computers and all of that stuff, they do get worn out. Our carpet gets worn out. We have to have special carpet in there because when you have static and all the computers, you have electricity that goes through. And what do? You fry your monitor. Every time you touch your keyboard, it fries your monitor. There's a lot of special things that you have to have, soundboards and all of that stuff. So they all need redone.
Ms. Sprinkle. Ms. Therian?
I don't understand why we need to do a budget amendment when we can just make it part of this year's budget. That's really confusing to me.
Ms. Margarita.
Ms. Therian, you, because it is still available for her to spend this year, if you do a budget amendment and add it into it this budget, then you're using the bottom line, the unassigned funds, because she can still do the project as of 12/31 of this year. So those funds are still available for this year. If you spend it, put it in 2025, before I can take it back from the department, then you're spending from unassigned. So we have to wait until this year is done or do a budget amendment to remove it and then put it back in to for her to spend for 2025. So just think of it as you have this account and she has 1.4 million. And you've told her you can spend it this year. But until she returns that money, it's not available. We would have to go somewhere else and spend it.
Ms. Sprinkle.
It sounds to me like we're not looking for
equipment replacement here. We're actually looking for a redesign of the room. Is that right?
It's replacing the equipment, our console equipment, the stuff that... It's the equipment in our room, yes. So,
but you've just said you're trying to, you can't fit it, the room's too small.
Yes. Our consoles are considered equipment, though, because of everything that they have that goes into them, yes. It's not just a regular desk.
Absolutely get that, sorry. Okay. I absolutely get that. But you're saying to put those things in, you're trying to I mean,
yes,
the
I have
too,
to reconfigure.
Do you have to knock out walls?
No,
do
no,
you
no.
Have to do...
We have 8 consoles, and so you have to configure them so you can walk through the room or be wheelchair compliant and all of that stuff. We have extra doors and stuff like that. So it's the configuration and the size of the desk and what it's like. Our old ones used to be triangle shapes, and these ones are long squares. And so there's different vendors, and they give you a map and whether it will fit or not okay. in the room and what their consoles look like and how they can configure them in the room. So I draw out a map, I measure it all out and say, here's my room, can you give me a configuration? And we figure out who can fit what in our room.
And you have 2 offices kind of against the wall that are empty, right? Aren't those empty? Those
I
offices?
Have an office in there,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
And we use that for training sometimes.
Okay.
And that's all we have.
Okay, so okay. Just in my head trying to
yeah.
make it
We bigger. Have an office, and then I think what you're thinking is our copy area, and then in the other room is we're connected to all the rooms that have all our computers for us.
Mr. Marney.
I want to go back to outside contracts. Do you negotiate those yearly?
It's not a negotiation, no. It's just.
Do you have to reapply? I mean, is that a once a year deal or?
Yes.
Time
yeah.
frame.
Procom, yeah. They give me what they're going to charge me for the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to relate that to why do we negotiate our fees every 5 years to the other agencies? You know, what we charge. Delta
that's the business.
Troopers or...
Well, Margarita will figure out the whole cost of our center altogether and what it's going to be like this year and then where she projects to see us within 5 years and what our cost is. And so the first 2 years, Margarita can correct me if I'm wrong, we're kind of, they're overpaying us. In the middle, we're paying the exact cost that it costs for our center. And the last 2 years, they're kind of underpaying. So overall, they're paying the correct fee the entire time. So she projects where we're going to be in 5 years, not the cost of what it is right now for us. And so she does that for the 5 years, so we're even washed the entire time.
You know, because how do you forecast inflation like we've experienced?
She's good.
Well, you're correct. Sometimes I might be off, and sometimes I'm ahead. I project 4%. Above for employees, and so far we've been paying 2%. So I am projecting numbers on based on what I'm seeing, historical costs, what they are projecting in the market for inflation for the next 10, 12 years. And of course, we don't have a crystal ball and we might be off sometimes, but she is correct that in the first 2 years, we're usually ahead. The third year, we might be just right on target or a little bit ahead, and then the third and fourth. I haven't analyzed it for this year, but the last process, we were right there at the exact same amount of what our expenditures were as what we collected for that. So we were on target, but I haven't analyzed this second round of cost and see if we were on target or under target. But yeah, we are constantly. And our contract with the borough is actual. That is one contract that's done, that has been done every year so far. And so we have been charging them based on actual.
So. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Ther, we're gonna wrap this up quickly.
So are we saying that $140,000 in equipment replacement will just be for the monitors and unless you can get your room completed between now and December?
No, we put away $140,000 every year, and in 10 years we'll use that. So the money that you're putting here is just to put it in the bank to use in 10 years. It's just $140,000 okay. that we put away. So in 10 years we're not asking for a huge amount. We plan ahead, and then we have that as part of our budget, and then it gets passed on to those other departments. Like, this is a cost to our center this year. And then we keep our stuff pretty even throughout the whole year. And then, you know, if we asked in 10 years, we would ask those other departments, hey, we need new stuff. And they're going to say no.
So we're actually putting in $280,000 if you can't get your room configured with the amendment in 2025.
No, she's putting back one something.
Yeah, in your first budget amendment for 2025, you'll see that we're going to be bringing back in $1.3 million okay. for this department to do that project.
To configure a $1.3 million?
Yes, because we've been putting $140,000 each year into that account to replace that equipment in the 10th year. But and we appropriated it for spending in 2024. However, as of this date, we have not spent it, which means it'll come back in your first budget amendment for 25.
Ms. Sprinkle.
So let's just say we're spending the $2.9 million for this department. Help me with the math. Because we bill out your service to the borough, how much gets recouped?
As far as for
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The department charges over $1 million, 1.3 a year, close to 1.3 a year in partner agencies and other. So that's how much they receive. And you'll see that under their revenue. Keeping in mind that their biggest customer is the city of Fairbanks.
Oh. Mr. Ringstead.
So, okay. Margarita, in that now, the borough kind of changed out and is having the university do a couple of areas. So does that number then change? We don't bill them for as much as we used to?
I can explain that. University, the part that they're adding, there is no fire service there. So the part that they're adding come January, there was no fire service there, so nobody did anything. The ambulance service, some of that has switched out. The contract that Andrew has with Lakeview Terrace will go away, and university will cover that for fire. They're adding a fire service. Yes. Yes. It will change them. I mean, it will kind of add to me because when they take it over, I get to bill them for it instead of billing the city. It won't be a charge to the city. It will be a charge to the university. We do get, we'll get dispatched either way. We'll dispatch it.
Margarita, for tomorrow, could you please give us a list of all items on Friday we'll be coming back to for budgetary reasons?
Yes, I can give you a list of the changes that you've made to date as well as the items that are up for discussion.
Council, dispatch is a very complicated department. You have some very good questions. A budgetary review is also for you to learn the systems. You asked a lot of good questions. Mm-hmm. I thought Ms. Tidwell just grilled them to death. But the more questions you ask, the more you know. Christy, exceptional job today. And I think one of the best benefits we have with your department is Mr. Merritt, who used to work in your department, is now at head of HR and is really getting good applicants processed and through. You're a growing department now, appreciate it. You're cutting more positions from remote and bringing them in. And I'd like to thank you for moving back to Fairbanks. You know, you got to do time with the rest of us. Council, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.